That doesn't bless you. Your blesser's broken. Amen. That was great. That was awesome. Thank you, ladies. You know, it's funny when they picked that song to sing, I didn't know I was going to be preaching. And not just that, but I didn't know what passage I'd be preaching at the time, because obviously we're going through the book of Nehemiah, and it's just so fitting for the text today and for the message today. Appreciate everyone being here this morning and your faithfulness to the Lord. As many of you know, I am not the pastor. I am just the assistant, and just be thankful to be that, by the way. But Pastor Moore is preaching at Northway Baptist Church there in Scottsdale this morning, and he'll be back tonight. Tonight is our Hallelujah service, so we're excited about that. And we have four speakers tonight, so we're looking forward to what God has for us tonight. And so just... I'm very thankful for our church and just the spirit and the heart and how y'all just love on people, that come through this door. And so let's keep doing that. And so the Lord would want nothing else different. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Nehemiah chapter 4. If you could stand, Nehemiah chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 10. Anytime Pastor asks me to preach, obviously we're going through the book of Nehemiah, and a few Wednesdays ago we were talking about chapter 4, verses 1 through 9, and how Sanballat and Tobiah were mocking the children of Israel for building the wall, and they were persistent. We talked about how Satan himself is persistent in his attacks on us, and he doesn't let up, and when he sees progress, he amps it up even more, and Satan doesn't want us to live for God. Satan doesn't want us to move forward for Christ. So we see that he was using, this is just a picture of how Sanballat and Tobiah were attacking, verbally Nehemiah and the other Jews. And then in verse 8, it says, and they conspired to come up against them. But Nehemiah wasn't going to stop. He said in verse 9, "Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them that day, this night, because of them." We're going to take a stand for God. But now let's look at verse 10 and see the response of the people here. So in verse 10, it says, "And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we're not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came," that means the Jews which dwelt by the enemy there, "they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore said I," and when Nehemiah is saying I, he's referring to himself, "therefore said I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places, I even set the people after their families, and their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters and your wives and your houses. And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, everyone unto his work." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. Pray that you would just be with me this morning. Pray that you would help me to say what you would have me to say, that your word would be clear, and that it would come alive this morning. We're so grateful for the text here, and we're just pray that you'd use it this morning, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, the 1985 Chicago Bears, which that pains me to say because I'm a Packers fan. 1985 Chicago Bears are known for being one of the best defenses in the NFL, all NFL history. Their team only lost one game that season, and they went on to win the Super Bowl. Now, Walter Payton was their running back. He's a solid guy, and he, obviously Hall of Fame and part, but it has been said that defenses win championships. And I would agree with that. I agree. If a team has a great defense and a good offense, that's quite the recipe to win. But here in this, in our text here, the children of Israel, they're trying to build the wall, they're trying to build the defenses, and the enemy is now threatening to attack. They're threatening to come after them. And so now here in verse 10, the children of Israel hit a wall. And pun intended, by the way. But it says in verse 10 here, it says, "And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed." That means it's decreased. It's breaking apart. It's falling apart. "And there is much rubbish, so that we're not able to build the wall." And so this morning, with God's help, I want us to see the defense against discouragement. And here we see the children of Israel have now gotten discouraged. Here in verse 10, hey, the bearers of burdens can no longer carry the weight, and there's so much rubbish everywhere, there's so much dirt, there's trash and everything. We're not able to do it. We can't do it. Well, I want us to see first off this morning that discouragement comes from the inside of the wall. And so they were weak from building the wall. Now think about this. They've been working on this for a long time now. And earlier in the chapter, they have it about halfway built, meaning they have it about as tall as me. And then they have more to build. But they were working on it. But you know how it is when you're doing manual labor. Sometimes you get into the middle of a project, and guess what? You're like, oh man, I still have all of this to do. Oh man, and I got to go to Home Depot a couple more times. Stink. And just the discouragement starts to set in. Oh man, it's going to cost this much. Oh man. All right, who's ever done a construction project where you've opened up the wall and there's been even more of an issue where you've had to, like, yes, Brother Jeremy, yes. And you're like, all right, more money, more trips to Home Depot, and I'm going to probably have to pay someone to do this or whatnot. And so the discouragement sets in. But here, they were discouraged because they saw that the enemy was getting ready to attack. The enemy was threatening. And now they're overwhelmed with the amount of work that has to be done. So inside the wall, I want us to see here that Satan, when he attacks us with discouragement, he attacks us when we're weak. They were weak from the hard labor and from the persistence of the enemy. And Satan himself is as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And if you're here this morning, Satan wants to devour you. Satan wants to ruin your life. Satan doesn't want your life to be in shambles. He wants your life to be in shambles like the wall was. But Nehemiah made a decision, hey, I'm going to build the wall. But he's looking for holes, can I tell you this morning, in your defense. He's looking for ways to be able to get through. He's looking for ways to be able to tempt you to sin. He's looking for ways to discourage you. He wants you to think, you know, there's no way that you can do that. I mean, there's no way that you're going to be able to finish that. There's no way that you're going to be able to move forward for God. I mean, God can't use someone like you. And you'll use discouragement like, oh, you know, yeah, there's really no way that it can happen. Wanted to share with you, we're in the process of buying a house. Our house is sold, and everything's a go. So we are closing on both homes, the one we're buying and the one we're selling, on the same day. So pray for us that, you know, because now we start the moving process. But prior to making an offer on this house, we had made an offer on another house, and we knew that there was going to be some work that was going to have to be done to the house. We were fine with that. And however, we were all excited, and my wife and I are both guilty of this. We just get excited about something, and then all of a sudden, when reality hits and something falls through, it's like, oh man, and you're all disappointed and sad about it. But that happened. The home inspection came back, and it wasn't good. It wasn't pretty, and Miss Sarah had already designed the house, you know, on Pinterest and everything. But it was discouraging. And Satan attacks us when you're weak. You know, when you're weak and when you're discouraged, guess what Satan does? Hey, you know, you can just figure it out yourself. You don't need God. You don't need church. You don't need anything. You don't need any church things. You can just do it yourself. You can take care of it yourself. You got this. And so Satan will use that, and he'll take advantage when your defense is weak. So the enemy knew that if they were going to strike, they might want to do it when the wall was not yet built. If you look in verse 7, it says, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth." So they said, okay, their defense is coming up. We need to take advantage of it now. And can I tell you, when Satan starts to see you living for God, when he starts seeing you growing as a Christian, he's like, oh, whoa, I gotta stop that. And guess what he'll do it with? He'll do it with discouragement. He'll tell you things like, you're never going to be able to live up to the expectations of what God wants. Or you're never going to be as good of a Christian as that person. And we shouldn't compare ourselves to others. Let me be clear. But he puts those things in your mind. Discouragement starts. Can I tell you? Discouragement starts with thoughts in your mind of not being able to accomplish something that God wants you to do. And it starts there. And discouragement is used to weaken the Jews. They wanted to discourage them and to weaken them. And guess what? It worked. In verse 10, it says, so that we can't build the wall. And it says, and our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. That was the enemy's goal, to cause the work to cease. Satan wants the work to cease. He doesn't want God to do a work in your life. He doesn't want you to have victory over sin. Husbands, he doesn't want you to have victory over pornography in your life. Ladies, he doesn't want you to have victory over things, watching things on TV that you know you shouldn't be watching. Satan doesn't want you to have victory in any of that. He's going to attack you when you're discouraged. He's going to come after you. And he's going to start with your thoughts. Amen. And he wants us to live for ourselves, by the way. You know, our society is a society of self. You know, why do you think people want to get into specific sins? Why? To please themselves. Pornography, it's about pleasing yourself, right? Yep. And people want to be pleased. They want to please their flesh. And Satan wants your flesh to be pleased. And the flesh and the spirit are at war against each other constantly. And so Satan is going to pile up the trash. He's going to pile up the rubbish so that you feel overwhelmed. Can I tell you, discouragement and depression starts with a feeling of being overwhelmed. There's so much to do. Oh man, how am I going to be able to afford to pay this bill? How am I going to be able to send my kids to college? And you start to all these different thoughts. And are you with me this morning? That we have all these thoughts that Satan uses to discourage us, to keep us from doing what God wants us to do. And I'm telling you right now, if you allow discouragement into your life, if you allow Satan to win, you're going to have the same attitude as the children of Israel here and saying, oh, we can't do it. Sometimes we can be stubborn, can't we? Nope, there's no way. I'm not doing it. Not even going to touch it. Not going to do it. Nope. But if that's what God wants you to do, don't let Satan put in the thought of, I can't do it. Because if God wants you to do it, you should follow through and do it. But discouragement just doesn't happen overnight. Discouragement happens when we view our circumstances as a victim. Brother Joe, you just don't know. I've been victim of this, and I've had this happen, I mean, what's God doing? I mean, I'm just so discouraged. I'm so weighed down with things of this world, and I just don't know how I can handle it. And we use things like, well, when it rains, it pours. Or I call this the Eeyore effect. I guess I'm just going to be just living the rest of my life like this. And no one's going to care about me. And we start letting those thoughts, like no one cares. Satan uses that, doesn't he? He plays with your mind saying, hey, no one cares about you. No one thinks you could do anything for God. But discouragement also happens when we become entitled. And here the people, they're like, hey, God wanted us to do this, and now all this is happening? You know, why would we do this? You know, don't they know that we're God's people? And don't they, I guess we're not going to be able to do it. You know, discouragement wears over time. And I think if we were all honest with each other, we've all battled with discouragement at some point in our life. And discouragement isn't something that's pleasant. It's not something that's enjoyable. But it wears on you. It drags you down. Discouragement engulfs you. You become so overwhelmed with what's happening. And like in verse 10, the rubbish was so great, and there was so much, so it was rubbish, and they were like, okay, we can't build it. It was too much for them. But the discouragement just didn't come from inside the wall. It came from outside the wall. So the Jews, it says in verse 11, and our adversary said, they shall not know neither see till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass, when the Jews which dwelt by them came and said unto us 10 times, from all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. So the warning came from the Jews that were outside the wall. They were dwelling with these enemies outside the wall. And they came to the people and say, hey, by the way, they're coming for you. They're coming for you. And they said it 10 times. And you're like, wow. When someone says something more than once, that means that it's kind of urgent. It's kind of important. And so when you surround yourself with the enemy, can I tell you, it will bring discouragement. When you allow the enemy to influence you, it will lead to discouragement. When you surround yourself with people that aren't godly, and they're saying, well, hey, it's okay, just do whatever you want to do. I mean, because I've been there, right? When I worked a secular job, I would sometimes go into work, and a coworker would say, hey, how's this going with your family? And you'd tell them, and they'd say, I wouldn't do that. I mean, why would you want to spend time going to church and figure it out that way? I mean, I would just figure it out this way and this way. And you listen to counsel from other influences. And that's what those Jews were doing. The Jews were listening to the enemy themselves. They were listening to what they were saying, and they were going and passing it along to the Jews that were building the wall. It's like that person that's not doing the work, but that comes, hey, man, you're doing a bad job. Man. All right, here's the paintbrush. You want to join in and help? And so it's that same mentality, but they're discouraging them. It's just like Job. Here you have Job, one of the richest men. He had all these camel, he had all these cattle, he had all the children, and was very wealthy. And in one day, it was all taken away from him. But how did that start? Satan went to God and said, is there anyone? And he said, hey, have you considered my servant Job, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And Satan's like, if I do this and this and this to him, he's going to curse you. And God said, all right, do what you will, but don't kill him. Okay. So Satan does that, and Job loses everything all in one day. But Job's response wasn't, there was discouragement on Job's end, but guess what his response was? His response was he fell down on his knees and he worshiped. And when discouragement comes to you, it brings you to your knees. It does. But guess what? When you get to your knees, your response, when you get to your knees, will display where you're at in your spiritual walk with God when discouragement comes. But Job's wife, his own wife, said, just curse God and die. And then his friends, yep, this is all because of you're not right with God and this. His friends were quite discouraging. And have you ever been around someone that's just discouraging all the time? Well, that's not going to help you with your discouragement if you're getting counsel and advice from someone that's not encouraging. And so they were surrounded by the enemy. So don't surround yourself with people that are going to discourage you to go the wrong way. Amen. And you know what? Sometimes we often like to hear what we want to hear, right? We go to people that will just tell us what we want to hear. But can I tell you some of the best conversations that have been a help to me is when someone says, no. No, what you're thinking is wrong. Amen. That sharpened me and said, you know what? You know what? What you're considering doing is not right. And it made a difference in my life. Surround yourself. Don't surround yourself with the enemy. But then discouragement leads to this threatening to attack on all sides. It says, and we will soon be upon you. And so the enemy, they're coming. They're coming for him. And Satan wants you to feel overwhelmed with your problems. It could be a health problem. It could be a financial problem. Satan wants you to be discouraged. Oh, there's no way God can dig me out of this financial mess that I'm in. There's no way that God can, you know, cure me of this disease. And there's no way that, you know, it just leads to continual discouragement. And Satan will bring that to your mind. And guess what? He'll also say, you know what? it's not your fault. It's your parents' fault. Or it's your circumstances' fault. You know, and just and discouragement builds. And can I tell you, the fact that those Jews said 10 times that the enemy's going to come upon them, meanings, that would be overwhelming to me. Oh, man, what are we going to do? And they said again, oh, man. And some of these Jews were definitely probably losing some hair over this, let me tell you. From the discouragement and being feeling overwhelmed because the enemy was coming from all sides. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7 with me if you could. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Leave your place here in Nehemiah, but turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. So 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verses 5 through 6. It says, "For when we were come into Macedonia," this is Paul talking to the church at Corinth, "for when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side, without were fightings, within were fears." So he's admitting, hey, there's issues all around us. We were tired, we were exhausted, there was fears all around us, we were troubled on every side, and within were fears. Nevertheless, I love verse 6, "Nevertheless, God, that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus." Guess who was the source of their comfort? Guess who was the source of giving them victory over discouragement? It was God. Amen. The God that comforteth us. You know, it was a time of discouragement for Paul, but he didn't look to what was discouraging. He was stating the facts. This is what happened. We were troubled. We were tired. But God comforted us. God took care of this. So now let's look back to Nehemiah and see what Nehemiah's response was. Now the Jews themselves, their response was, there's no way we can do this now. We're discouraged. Nothing's going to happen. Well, there are enemies here. What are we going to do? So I want us to see the defense against discouragement this morning. And the first step in defense against discouragement is the people prepared for an attack. And so if you look here, it's in verse 13, it says, "Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places, I even set people after their families with their swords, with their spears, and their bows." So Nehemiah had a plan. And his confidence wasn't in confidence in the people. His confidence was confidence in his God. Because you see, in the previous verses of the chapter, no matter what the enemy did, Nehemiah said, "Hey, we're still building. I'm still trusting God. I came all the way over here, and the Lord worked all this out for me to be able to come here and provided for us to be able to build this wall. I'm not giving up. I'm going to keep moving forward for God." And he said, "All right, we're going to have a plan." And it's like the Boy Scout motto, "Always be prepared." I was in Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts, and they always told you, always be prepared. So anytime I go hunting or out in the woods, I'm always prepared. So praise the Lord for that. But preparation is important when facing the enemy. You know, can I tell you that preparation also shows that you're ready for the enemy? It does. Nehemiah had all the areas covered. Can I tell you, you know how we prepare to face discouragement? We need to be open and honest with ourselves. We need to be open and honest with the sins that we have in our lives. You know, sometimes we'll just, when we ask the Lord to forgive us for something we've done, we just do like a general coat statement. "Lord, forgive me of my sins. Thank you. And in Jesus' name, amen." But we need to start being specific. We need to start being open. We need to start being honest. Because whenever we're going to give something to God, we need to prepare ourselves. We need to verbally say, "Lord, forgive me for the sin of what I just watched on TV. Help me to remove it." We need to be open with, "Lord, forgive me of the thoughts that I had towards that person. Lord, forgive me for the bitterness that I've held against this person. I need to make it right." And then make it right. Because guess what? Things like bitterness and sin, guess what they lead to eventually? They lead to discouragement. And Satan uses those things in your life. But you need to be prepared. And part of being prepared is recognizing what the true enemy is. And that's Satan. He wants to ruin your life. Be prepared for him. Don't hold back. You know, a strong defense will work out their kinks to get better, right? A strong defense will do that. And you know how you do that as a Christian? You spend time with God. You work out those kinks. You be honest. You be open. then you also see that not only did Nehemiah place them in strategic places, but what did he do? He armed them. He armed them. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 6 real quick. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Turning to these passages really quick makes all those sword drills I did as a kid pay off. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. So if we're going to arm ourselves against discouragement, this is what we need to do right here. Here's the solution to arming ourselves. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. How, and part of withstanding, guess what? That's defense. That's building up defense. Listen, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Can I tell you, we need to arm ourselves. Nehemiah said, hey, let's have a plan. You need to be in strategic locations. Hey, you need to arm yourselves. Here's swords, spears, bows. Let's get ready for the enemy. Let's not falter when they're threatening to attack. We need to be ready to stand and defend what we are building. And can I tell you, when Satan comes at you with discouragement, you need to be ready and say, I'm not going to let Satan discourage me. I'm not going to let Satan put those thoughts in my mind. I'm going to take a stand, and I'm going to do what God wants me to do, and not what the world wants me to do, not what my coworker wants me to do, not what someone else wants me to do. I'm going to do what God wants me to do, and I'm going to take a stand against discouragement. The right weapon will deter the enemy. You know, the weapon that God gives us will bring victory. You know, Jonah, come up here real quick. Jonah's going to help me out this morning. Appreciate him, because he's a football pro, by the way. I mean, he's going to be first round pick in the NFL. I'm just kidding. Basketball is his thing. So Jonah's got this football here. So if I were to give Jonah this football and we were to run a play, and he's offense, right? And he was just try to score a touchdown and try to get to the other end of the platform, that's a touchdown. At this point, what's stopping him? Nothing. Nothing. He could just run the ball and score. But if I had Brother Pedro come on up here, come on up here, Brother Pedro. And then Micah, come on up here. All right, Brother Leo, why don't you come on up here? Okay. All right. Amen. All right, so you guys are going to stand right here in front of Jonah. So Brother Leo is going to represent the Word of God, the Bible. Brother Pedro is going to represent prayer. Then Micah is going to represent being faithful to church, being in church. If you're going to defend yourself against discouragement, you need to have these three things. No, try to get through these guys. There's no way you could get through them. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to make you do that. But thank you all so much. Actually, can you all stay seated up here real quick? I'm going to use you all here in just a minute. So you have a solid defense, right? You have the Word of God. And can I tell you, our biggest defense against discouragement is being in God's Word every day, spending time with God, and having a prayer time and devotion, and then spending time in prayer with Him. Talking to Him, giving Him our discouragements. When Satan comes and attacks us, guess what we need to do? We need to get in the Word, and we need to get on our knees and say, Lord, we need your help. I can't face this discouragement on my own. I can't face this financial hardship on my own. I need you, Lord. I need your help. I need your strength. And can I tell you, also, being in church when you're discouraged is the best place that you could be. You know what happens is we get guilty. Oh, I'm just discouraged. I'm not going to be in church because what's that going to do for me? But here's the thing. You need what God's Word says. And sometimes, I don't know how many times I've heard it in my entire life, that someone has walked through the doors of a church And the pastors presented a message, and they've come up to him and said, that is exactly what I needed today. And can I tell you, when you don't walk through those doors and you don't sit in these seats, you're going to miss out on what God has for you today. And you know, I know it's different for everyone, but God has something for you. That's why it's so important, folks. That's why it's so important that you're here Sunday morning. Amen. That's why it's so important that you're here Sunday night. That's why it's so important that you're here Wednesday night, so that you can hear from God. The Bible says that we shouldn't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Can I tell you, our relationship with God is should be the most important relationship that you have. And when you do that, when you fail to keep your defenses up, that's when the enemy gets in. That's when discouragement comes in. That's when sin comes in. Because then your defenses are down, and the enemy can win. So we shouldn't let those things keep us. Don't let sports keep you from being in church. Don't let what other people think keep you from being in church. You need to be faithful to God. He did so much for you. He died on the cross for your sins and mine. Don't let that keep you from being faithful to Him. Because you need that defense. You need to be protected. You know what? When I forget to read my Bible, discouragement sets in. And guess what I did? I let down my guard. When I don't spend time in prayer, I let down my guard. We need, if we're gonna have victory over discouragement, we need to spend time with God. Because guess what? Where wisdom comes from? It comes from God's Word. Guess where that relationship with God comes from? Time in prayer. When you're discouraged, guess what? Nothing better than telling someone. Why not tell the one who can fix it? Amen. He can fix all of our problems. That's what Nehemiah was telling them. He was saying, you know, we're gonna have our defense. We're gonna arm you. And it says, and I look and rose up and said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people. And this is what he said to them. This is so awesome right here. Get this. He said, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. And fight for your brethren. Fight for your sons. Fight for your daughters. Fight for your wives. Fight for your houses. And how true that is for us today, that we need this. We need to remember how great our God is and what He's capable of. Psalm 77:13 says, thy way, O God, is the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? We need to remember what God has done, how He's been great in the past. And you know, when you read in the Bible, you hear all these stories, how God parted the Red Sea, and how He got the children of Israel out of captivity, and how He gave them victory over this sin, and over this trial, and over this tribulation. And if He can do it for them, guess who else He can do it for? He can do it for you. And how exciting is that? And guess what? Think about the victories that you've had in your life. Remember the trials or tribulations that you've come out, that God has brought you out of. And think about here, if you're saved and the Lord saved you out of alcoholism, out of drug abuse, and how God maybe saved you out of complete wickedness and sin. He did that for you. And if He could do it then, guess what? He can even do it now. Amen. Don't let the enemy discourage you. But then remember God's promises. He says, remember our God, which is great and is terrible, and fight for your brethren. Remember what God's promised. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Jeremiah 32:17 is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It says, ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. There's nothing too hard for God, folks. Amen. You know, your discouragement is Satan. And you know what you need to do? You just need to give to God. When we hold our discouragement, when we hold on to it, we're forgetting about the one who can fix it. Our problems are small to God. He can fix them. But guess what we got to do? We got to ask Him. We have families that need to be protected. Hey, He's saying, hey, don't you know that you have to fight for your sons and for your daughters and for your wives and for your homes? And I know this is kind of getting in what we talked about in Sunday school, but we have a responsibility to fight for our future, fight for our families. And we can't allow discouragement. We can't allow sin. We can't allow things in our lives to keep our family from being penetrated by Satan himself and let Satan have rule and reign in our lives. We can't afford that, dads. We can't afford that, moms. We can't afford any of that in our homes. Because Nehemiah was saying, listen, they're coming after your families. They're coming after your kids. Grab a sword. Grab a bow. Let's fight. Let's get ready to go. And as they say and do perfect, let's go. Let's do it. Let's get it done. But I want us to see, if you guys could come back out for the illustration, same spot, Jonah, you're here, and the three guys. So if you're Jonah, right, and you have three guys standing in his way, and he knows, hey, I ain't getting through, guess what that's going to do? Guess what's going to make him do? Which way is he going to run? That way. He's going to run that way, right? You're going to run away from them because there's no way you can escape. You can get through them, right? No, exactly. All right, thank you all. May be seated. You can just leave the football on the chair there. Appreciate you all's help. Listen, Christian. When God's word is a priority in your life and you're in it every day and you're spending time in prayer and you're being faithful to church, when the enemy sees that, when he's looking at it and he sees that it's prominent in your life, that's what's what you're allowing to control your life, guess what? The enemy is going to go the other way. The Bible says resist the devil and he will what? Flee from you. When Satan sees that God is your defense, he flees. When we use the Bible, it brings comfort from discouragement. You know, I love this in verse 15. It says, and it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us and that God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the work, all of us to the wall, everyone into his work. When the enemy heard it, they're like, okay. All right, well, we're not going to mess with them right now. And as soon as they heard that, they went back to the work. Because they said, you know what? We're going to take a stand. We're going to not let Satan have victory over our discouragement. We're going to keep moving forward for God. And you might be here this morning, and you might be facing some discouragement in your life. Can I tell you? You need to get your defense. You need to get your defense. You know, a coach, when they send a defense out to the field, they don't just say, all right, go out to the field. Guess what they do? They have a plan for them. So have a plan. You know what your first step in your plan should be? Should be to get in God's word. Amen. Have a time of prayer. It's so important that we do this every day and spend time with God. We need to be in church. Yep. Don't let something keep you from being in church. Say, well, Brother Joe, I just threw up. Okay, yes, stay home, okay? All right? But I want us to understand that is so important, because when we fail to do these things, Satan enters in. Satan will get victory over your discouragement instead of God. But you might be here and you might be discouraged because you don't have a relationship with the one who can heal your discouragement. Can I tell you, a self-help book is not going to heal discouragement. Amen. Can I tell you, the internet, Googling it, isn't going to help with discouragement. You know who's going to help with discouragement? This. And you might be here this morning and you don't have a relationship with God. You've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior. You've never put your faith and trust in Him. Can I tell you that God loves you so much that He came and died on the cross for you? Not just for a few people. He died on the cross for all. And He wants you to spend eternity in heaven with Him. But if you don't have a relationship with God, if you're not saved, then your eternal destination is a place called hell. And eternity is eternity, and it's forever. And if you were to die today, you would spend eternity there if you're not saved. But God doesn't want that for you. That's why He died. That's why He loves you so much. He doesn't want you to face hell. But guess what we have to do? Because we have a free will, we have to make that decision. We have to say, you know what? I need a relationship with God. I need to be saved. You're discouraged. You might be that. I don't know where to turn. I don't know where to go. I don't know which direction to go for my life. I don't know what to do. And can I tell you? I've counseled with young people who've contemplated suicide and contemplated, you know, harming themselves, all because they could not face discouragement. And the reason they couldn't face discouragement is because they didn't have a relationship with the one who could fix it. And if you're here this morning and you're struggling and you're discouraged, and you get, as a Christian, you get discouraged. But we need it, we need to give it to God. We need to spend some time with Him. We need to make a defense. When I read this passage, I immediately thought of, them being behind a wall and their swords and spears and bows and everything. I immediately thought of the Alamo. And I like history and I enjoy history. The Alamo, obviously, if you're familiar with it, is when William Barrett Travis and Davy Crockett and Bowie, the guy known for the knife, were cooped up in this this barricaded wall area that had a church in it. And they were under enemy attack for 14 days. And they knew that there was only a few hundred of them and there was thousands in the army. So they knew the likelihood of them winning was very slim. But William Barrett Travis, he was the one in command there. He took over after Bowie got sick. He wrote a letter. And his letter was addressed to the people of Texas and all Americans in the world. And I love his attitude and his spirit in this letter. Think about this. This is a man that knew the likelihood of them winning was slim. And that their doom was impending. But listen to what it says. Fellow citizens and compatriots, I am besieged by 1,000 or more of the Mexicans under Santa Anna. I have sustained a continual bombardment and cannonade for 24 hours and have not lost a man. The enemy has demanded a surrender at discretion. Otherwise, the garrison are to be put to the sword if the fort is taken. So meaning, if the fort's taken, we're all going to die. I've answered the demand with a cannon shot, and our flag still waves proudly from the walls. I shall never surrender or retreat. Then I call on you in the name of liberty and of patriotism and everything dear to the American character and to our aid with all dispatch. The enemy is receiving reinforcements daily and will no doubt increase to 3,000 or 4,000 in 4 or 5 days. If this call is neglected, I am determined to sustain myself as long as possible and die like a soldier who never forgets what is due to his own honor and that of his own country. Victory or death? P.S. I love this. The first 5 words on his P.S. is, "The Lord is on our side." When the enemy appeared in sight, we had not 3 bushels of corn. We have since found in deserted houses 80 or 90 bushels and got into the walls 20 or 30 head of beeves. So he said, you know what? Even if you read this letter and don't come, I'm still going to stand and fight. I'm still going to stand and fight against the enemy. It's either victory or death. Christian, lost person, you choose one of the two this morning as well. I'm going to have victory over discouragement, victory over sin, or I'm going to let Satan win. Don't surrender. Guess what? Like that P.S. said, the Lord is on our side. Don't give up. Nehemiah didn't give up. If you're discouraged this morning, now's not the time to give up. Now's the time to give in to God.